Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege of being able to pray together another day. We ask that thou would open the word of God to us now, help us to lay hold of the truth of it, and grant, dear Lord, as we see things related to the future, our hearts will be prepared for the present. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have just begun our study of the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we read completely in your hearing on our last broadcast. We will not take the time to reread the whole chapter on this broadcast because our time is limited. But you will remember that the chapter began with an invitation from the angel to John to measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Now, we said that we were interested in this temple. Just where is it? What is it? We learned by comparing Scripture with Scripture that it is a temple which will be rebuilt or will be built in the city of Jerusalem during the tribulation period. This temple will be built, we learned, from looking at a number of passages of Scripture. One of them was what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, when he said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place," or stand in the temple, that is, "whoso readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains." And this passage of Scripture is taken from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, compared with the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, will reveal that during the tribulation, when the temple is rebuilt, the Antichrist himself will be set up, or will set up an image of himself within the temple, and will demand that every living person on the earth bow down and worship that image. I'd like for you now to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and notice a more literal description of this very thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ," more literally, the day of the Lord, or more literally still, "the tribulation is at hand." Don't be troubled that the tribulation is at hand. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," that is the tribulation, "shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, the man of sin, the son of perdition, is the Antichrist. Notice what is said about him in verse 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped," notice carefully, "so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Here is a very definite statement that the Antichrist himself will go into the temple and demand that everybody in the tribulation worship him. These passages of Scripture should settle in all of our minds, though they are not all the passages of Scripture by any means, that the temple will be rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem. Now it is an interesting thing to note that Israel as a nation has been gathered back into the land of Palestine in our day. When John was writing this passage of Scripture, this was not true in the sense that it is true now. It is also interesting to read and hear reports that the Jews at the present time are storing away materials that will be used in the building of the temple which they are planning. Now this temple, as they plan it, as is indicated in verse 1 of chapter 11, will be different from Solomon's temple, in that Solomon's temple had four courts. It will be different from Herod's temple, in that Herod's temple had three courts. This one will have only one. outside of the central place where God is to meet his people. Now, will you look again and notice what we have read in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. Now we have learned in our study, if you've been thinking up to this point, that such action is symbolic. It does not mean that it was not done, but it does mean that it was done in order that an illustration might be given. This is not unusual or strange, remember, for it has been done before. When you have time, you might read Ezekiel chapter 40, and you will find God instructing an angel to do the very same thing in relation to the temple that will be built during the millennial reign of Christ. For this temple that we are reading about in Revelation 11 will be destroyed at the end of this age, at the end of the tribulation. Then when you have time, you might read Revelation 21, and you will find that this very same procedure is followed in relation to the New Jerusalem, which is come down upon the earth. And when you have time, you might read Zechariah 2, where you will find the same procedure being followed, and you will also find the reason for it. You will find that this symbolic action represents two things. It represents the fact that the place and the people which are being measured are going to become the center of attention. And it also represents the fact that God is going to build a hedge about them, so to speak, and manifest a very special interest in them because of his divine protection in this manner. Now, with that thought in mind, if you glance at verse 1, you will notice that God told John to rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship there. Now, who do you think would be worshiping in this temple sincerely? Certainly those who have really been born again and those who are true to God. But in verse 2, he warns him, John, that he must not measure the court, which is without the temple, for the Gentiles are not coming in for spatial attention at this moment. And that is the significance of the outer court. The Gentiles will still be treading down the holy city for 42 months, which translated into years of 30-day months is 3.5 years. So we see again that what is presented to us is related to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now you will notice that your attention is focused upon two characters who are presented to us in this chapter only as two witnesses. In verse 3, God said, I will give power unto my two witnesses. If you read very many commentaries on the book of Revelation, you will find that a great deal of space is given to the identification of these two witnesses, or perhaps I should say the suggested identification of these two witnesses, because there is no certain scripture which identifies them beyond all doubt. Yet, it would seem that in this chapter, the Spirit of God is not so much interested in identifying these two witnesses as he is in telling us what they shall do. As a matter of fact, the only thing that is said about their identity, if we may even consider it something, is what is found in verse 4 of this chapter, where we read, notice, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Well now, when you say that two men are two olive trees and two candlesticks, you know immediately that symbolic language is in use. Since we've been studying the book of Revelation, we've become very familiar with the use of symbols, and we have discovered that every symbol in the book is explained either in the book of the Revelation or somewhere else in the Word of God, and such is the case in this instance. I would suggest that you turn with me now to Zechariah chapter 4, and notice with me verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep, and said to me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of the bowl. These are two olive trees, said the prophet of God, just as we've read here in the book of the Revelation. Now, skip down to verse 11 and notice these words. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, if you compare this passage of Scripture with Zechariah chapter 3, and again with the book of Haggai, you will see that these verses are a distinct reference to two witnesses for God who witnessed in a very trying time related to the nation of Israel, who witnessed in a time when the temple was being rebuilt and when the city of Jerusalem was being restored. You will find that these two witnesses were Zerubbabel and Joshua. The only reason the Spirit of God calls our attention, going back to Revelation now, to this passage of Scripture is that just as certainly as there were two witnesses typified by candlesticks and olive trees in the day of Zechariah, these two individuals will be obligated to do nothing else but witness for the Lord during the last half of the tribulation period. And if these witnesses in Zechariah's day were two literal men, then we can believe that the two witnesses in the day of which we are studying will be two literal men as well. We're going to have to leave you now because our time is gone.